is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome cyber attacks, cyber defenses. I follow very carefully at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies the presentations by Dr. Georgiana Shea, the CCTI and TCIL chief technologist, and Annie Fixler, the CCTI deputy director. The challenge is right now cyber in the form of ransomware. All this requires explanation and definition. I read most recently from an announcement in November from the U.S. Department of Treasury, Dateline Jerusalem, building on the longstanding relationship between the Israeli Ministry of Finance and the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Deputy Secretary of the Treasury Wally Adeyemo met with Finance Minister Avigdor Lieberman and Director General of the National Cyber Directorate Yigal Una in Israel today, this is mid-November, to establish a bilateral partnership to protect critical financial infrastructure and emerging technologies and expand international cooperation to counter the threat of ransomware to countries and the global economy. There it is. So, Annie, I begin with you because your piece on ransomware is revelatory to me. What is ransomware now transformed into national geopolitical threat? Good evening to you, Annie.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having us. Ransomware is a particular kind of cyber attack in which the attacker locks up your system, encrypts it, is the word, such that you can't access your pictures, your files, your documents, your data, and demands payment in return for unlocking your system. The ransomware attackers can go after everyone from, you know, your grandmother and lock her from seeing her pictures, to an attack we saw earlier this year in which ransomware attackers locked up the systems of Colonial Pipeline, which transports a sizable amount of U.S. Gas fuel from down sort of the Houston area up to the East Coast. So by locking that system, the pipeline couldn't operate. So that has significant national implications. Your listeners may remember gas shortages or runs or scares. So again, ransomware can attack, you know, individuals and also major companies.
Georgiana, in my ignorance, I presumed ransomware was for cash thieves, people looking for a quick shakedown, you know, asking for Bitcoin or Ether or some payment that can't be traced. However, your presentation at FDD says this is now a weapon in the hands of malign actors. States are using ransomware. How so, Georgiana?
Oh, well, let me see. So you can use ransomware, not just to get the money as you're talking about, but to get the influence that you may be looking for. So if you want an adversary or another country to do something and you take away some of their means, so it's no longer just money. It's you know, what's important to them and what are they going to do to ensure that those goals are met. And if you're applying ransomware and blocking their resources, then it can be an effective tool.
And is that new, Georgiana, a weapon in the hands of bad actors?
I would say yes, no. Cyber warfare, cyber security, cyber anything is constantly an evolving platform of capability. So when you say, is it new? It might be new from 20 years ago, but the general principles have always been there. The technological means of making something happen, those are constantly evolving and allowing new ways for things to happen. But it's a difficult question to say yes or no, because now we have the means, so it can happen, yes. But these same type of strategies have been used in the past as well.
I think what might be new, and the reason it's caught all of our attention, is what are known as ransomware as service providers. So instead of an individual hacker needing to develop the virus, develop the malware, access your system, lock it up, now there are groups that provide, you know, one-stop shop. If you want to buy a piece of malware, you can buy it and then go attack someone. So it makes it a lot easier for traditionally criminal hackers to, if they have access to a system, lock it up. They don't need to come up with new viruses themselves.
So these are pirates, but I want to focus on pirates attached to a GPS. I'm reading now from a publication I didn't know before your revelations guided me to it. It's called darkreading.com. I'm reading now a chronology of timeline of ransomware attacks by Iranian threat actors in the world. I have September 2020, something called Dev 0146. It goes December, May 2021, September 2021, November 2021, something called Phosphorus. What am I looking at? What is this, Georgiana?
I honestly don't know what you're looking at. we're not sharing a screen, but it sounds like what you're reading are the different known attacks that have happened, the occurrences of ransomware attacks throughout this particular time period. So you can dig into the vulnerabilities that may have allowed for the ransomware, or the groups that are using the ransomware, or the particular campaigns of ransomware attacks.
So what we have here then is the names of ransomware attacks launched by Iran. Is Iran the only one using this ransomware to get the credit, to get the reputation of having names behind them, or is this commonplace now?
It's very commonplace. So ransomware is software. It's a type of malicious software. It's a category of software. And you can think of it as a tool or an enabler, just like your hammer. So maybe a particular hammer is used by a certain person, but anyone can actually use that tool. Once something is out in the wild, like software, malware, ransomware, it's difficult to really attribute who's using that tool. You can go through and look at the way it's been developed and look at the forensics on it and determine where it probably came from. So who maybe developed it? Maybe it's the Russians, maybe it's the Iranians, maybe it's someone else. But once it's available, anyone can actually use that tool.
Anna, you've written for the FGD, the way that the U.S. and Israel are working together. It's got more specialized language. The U.S.-Israel Task Force on FinTech Innovation and Cybersecurity. What is that?
Sure. So we don't know a lot yet about what the task force will do, but the public statements have been encouraging, and it makes sense for the two countries to work together, given both of their technological expertise, their innovation. These are some natural allies when it comes to cybersecurity and cyber innovation. FinTech is simply technology and new technology related to the financial sector. And what we're generally talking about there is cryptocurrencies. So Bitcoin is kind of cryptocurrency. There's lots of different kinds. And the countries are likely going to work together on how do we better regulate this space? How do we make it safe for consumers? How do we get bad actors out of the system? The problem with a lot of cryptocurrency right now is that there are platforms and exchanges where criminal activity takes place. So what you've seen out of Treasury so far is a couple sanctions against these platforms as a way to start to try to address the illegal activity that's happening in the fintech space.
Georgiana, this combination of the U.S. and Israel suggests that this is states working together in common defense, similar to what we had in the 20th century when we worried about, say, the Russian bad actor and NATO. Is this a new turn? States working together? Are there other states getting involved? Can we imagine a cyber NATO or something like that, Georgiana?
So again, it's not new that states work together. When you look at how the internet's put together, it's, you know, from country to country, network to network. And when you look at cyber criminal activity like ransomware, the attribution of it starts to become very difficult. So as we're following our own United States network of activity, attackers aren't just coming from the United States. They're coming from all over the world. So we have to work with our allied partners to go through and look at their information, get their forensics, have their cooperation. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to get the full picture of where the attacks are coming from, how they're being conducted, who's involved. So you really do require that partnership across the United States. So NATO, our our Five Eyes partners, any type of international coalition, it's imperative that we continue to work together so that we can get that full scope of information. Otherwise, we're left with a big gap in that understanding of what's going on, how it's happening, the tools they're using, who's involved. So no, it's not new. And yes, it still can be improved.
I'm going to guess now, because I don't have this in front of me, but are the bad actors similar to the bad actors in military affairs or diplomatic affairs or financial affairs? In other words, are we looking at a world dividing into the Axis and the Allies, similar to the 20th century, Georgiana?
Oh, that's an interesting question. It's a little bit different, because when you talk in traditional military terms, we have geographical adversaries. So we're going to China, Russia, it's a country. But when you start talking about cyber warfare, it could be a state-sponsored Chinese hackers, state-sponsored hackers, or it could be a group. So there's different hacking groups that are associated with multiple countries, kind of a boundaryless groups that may have a particular cause, and they're also causing cyber war type activity, you know, attacking different organizations, launching ransomware, denial of service type of attacks based on their loose affiliation with each other. So it becomes very blurred sometimes as to, okay, who is attacking and what country is it? Because there's not always a country. Sometimes, like I said, it's just that affiliated group of individuals. And sometimes it's very loose affiliation of individuals.
Is there any evidence that the malign actors work together, exchange information, Moscow, Beijing, Tehran, or other addresses, Pyongyang, for example? Does it coordinate with any of those other bad actors to our knowledge?
I would say yes and no. Once we get into the details of things, it usually becomes classified. However, you can go to pretty much a ton of different internet resources on communication and sharing information, and you'll see that there are our people, organizations, countries all participate in those information sharing platforms that advance their capability in cyber attacks.
We're going to come back with what can be done. We're going to go into a room that CNN describes in a recent news release. In a nondescript office park in the desert town of Beersheba, a war room filled with screens showing various maps. What is that room? What is to be done about ransomware or cyber attacks in the 21st century? Georgiana Shea and Annie Fixler of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.